You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Everybody, and welcome to Hit the Books, the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view special. I am your host, the head writer of Monday Night Raw, Ryan Knightsey, and with me, as always, is the head writer of SmackDown Live, Mikey Manfredi. Everyone, welcome to Elimination Chamber. Mikey, welcome to Elimination Chamber. We're here on the road to WrestleMania. We say it every year, but I'm excited for the Chamber, baby.
Yeah, the Chamber is one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time. I'm so excited to get this underway. The Chamber is such like a cool switch up of like all the cages in WWE. I love the Chamber. Like I said, one of my favorites, and I'm so excited to get more officially on the road to WrestleMania.
Yes, more officially on the road to WrestleMania. I believe we said in the past it's an off ramp.
It's a pit stop, yeah.
It's a pit stop, definitely. But yeah, we got a full card ahead of you folks. If you've not listened to the weekly show every Friday of Hit the Books, then you've not heard our entire build to this pay-per-view special of Elimination Chamber. So definitely pause this, go listen back to Hit the Books, and come back, and we'll be here waiting for you. Okay, you're back. I'm glad you heard all of it. But we're here, ready to book Elimination Chamber. Mikey, we got a full 8-match card here tonight. Very excited about it. A lot of crazy matches on here, gotta be honest.
Yeah, definitely a wild ride we have going today. I'm super excited for this one. We have some big time matches that have had a lot of build, and I'm super stoked to get into them.
Yes, and we'll see all the results as they play out. But let's talk about the card that we have written down here, Mikey. Starting off with the pre-show match, which is going to be the Raw Tag Team Champions, LLC, Bobby Lashley and Cesaro, defending their titles against Ali and Alexander.
Oh, yeah. Good start. Good pre-show match. Good start. I'm excited for this one. I can't wait to see if Ali and Alexander take it home here.
Match number one, we have Morrison and Andrade defending their SmackDown Tag Team titles in the Chamber against the teams of The New Day, Undisputed Era, AJ Styles and Finn Balor, Street Profits, and The Usos.
Yes, big Elimination Chamber match there. After that, we got Lindsay Dorado with Heavy Machinery versus Tommaso Ciampa with One Nation for the United States Championship.
Yes, definitely like a sort of a blood feud match there in a weird way.
Yes, for sure.
Weird way to see Lindsay Dorado in a blood feud of Tommaso Ciampa, only in our universe, folks. Moving right along, speaking of things only in our universe, a casket match with Braun Strowman versus Karrion Kross.
Yeah, these two are going to kill each other. After that, we got Shayna Baszler.
Mikey, that's what the casket's
for. The Raw Women's Championship.
That's what the casket's for, Mikey. Sorry.
Exactly.
You were saying what was the next match?
Shayna Baszler versus Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship.
Yes, yes, yes. After that, we have, for the WWE Championship, Keith Lee defending his title against Randy Orton with special guest referee Christian.
Very excited for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited for special guest referee Christian. After that, we have the Women's Elimination Chamber, which is for the number one contendership for Shayna Baszler or Asuka's Raw Women's Championship after this night, and it's Rhea Ripley versus Liv Morgan, Ruby Riott, Peyton Royce, Candice LeRae, and Bayley.
Yes, yes, yes. And that is it for our card. We do have one bonus match here that is an unsanctioned match that it happens to be for the sanctioned Universal title. It's going to be Sami Zayn versus The Fiend.
Yeah, yeah. The lights are going to go out. The ref's going to be in a black polo shirt. It's not an official match in the WWE roster.
So if I was uploading or updating the wiki, so it's an unsanctioned match, but who... So would if... Let's say The Fiend wins, does that mean that he is not actually the Universal title, even though Sami Zayn will say that he is the winner? Like, what is that the title switch change is sanctioned? How will that work?
Yes, so the title change is sanctioned. The match is not.
Okay. That puts it all together, maybe, for me.
Behind the scenes contract they signed was basically like, yes, this is for the title. Mm-hmm. If Sami Zayn wins, he retains. If The Fiend wins, he gets the title. But we are also not liable for anything you two do to each other.
Yes, it's more of a liability waiver than anything else this match is.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
But you can't sue us if you get hurt.
Why, if Sami Zayn a fool signing a liability waiver against The Fiend.
Against The Fiend.
The Fiend also signing the liability waiver. Sure thing.
Yep. It's going to be very, very interesting.
Bray Wyatt, he puts a heart over one of his letters in his name, even though none of his letters in the name have like an I or anything they could do that with.
Oh, there's no like good spot to put one.
No, he just puts them over all of them. but yes, we are here to book the Elimination Chamber. We've presented the card to you folks at home. And if you've never heard the show, like I said, subscribe to anywhere you get a podcast, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Google Play. You can also follow us on Twitter at CountOutPod, That's the network that hosts us. And they tweet out all this stuff in regards to this show, along with all the other shows in the network. So definitely go check that out. You can also read the entire backlog, back history of every single match that we've had written for this show, 2 years of matches, over on countoutpod.com. But Mikey, with all of that out of the way, let's get to Elimination Chamber.
Yes, let's get right into this card.
Yes, right into it. We'll start off the show, like we said, with the pre-show. Is Charlie Caruso handing it? Or I think it's Caleb Braxton. While Caleb Braxton... Wait, no, is it Charlie? Who does the pre-show?
I have no idea.
Nonetheless, we're going to have JBL, Jerry the King Lawler, Booker T, and the other one. That's either Kayla or Charlie. I legit can't... I think it's Charlie Caruso. And they're going to be doing there. There's going to be a moment where R-Truth comes out, and then he's going to lose the 24/7 title. He's going to think that... for some reason, this Elimination Chamber has something to do with Valentine's Day, maybe? he thinks it's Valentine's Day, but that was last week, so that's the joke with R-Truth. But
actually, technically... We're recording on Valentine's Day. R-Truth knows this, because he has this weird, like, Deadpool meta, like, vision.
I never thought about R-Truth as the Deadpool of the WWE Universe, but honestly, that is plausible. If I'm not mistaken, I believe R-Truth is injured, actually, in this universe, now that I think about it.
How did that happen? Oh, they probably broke his arm, huh?
Yeah, if I remember correctly...
One Nation probably broke his arm. How is anybody injured these days?
I think if I remember correctly, it was One Nation... Tommaso Ciampa did break...
I guess, unless you're Arturo Ross.
R-Truth's arm. Oh, I guess... Ciampa breaks Truth arms. Yeah, Royal Rumble. So maybe he walks out and he has a sling on, and maybe that's what happens. But I was just like, I think he actually is injured in this universe. But yeah, that's fine. Oh, I do have him coming back. Okay. But nonetheless, we have the pre-show match that gets put on for the Raw Tag Team Championships. It's the LLC, Bobby Lashley and Cesaro, taking on Ali and Alexander. Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali beat LLC on a non-title match. MVP tried to buy them out of this match. Ali and Alexander refused. And that is all the build we got to this match, Mikey.
All right, easy peasy.
Easy peasy. And the result is easy peasy. It's going to be LLC retained the Raw Tag Team Championships.
Fair enough. I maybe had a feeling Ali and Alexander might get it done, but with Ali and Alexander being the last minute challengers, it kind of made sense for LLC to retain here.
Yeah, you know, one can make an argument. It's like, hey, give the titles to a new team, and you know, just build your stories out from there and go from there. But at the same breath, it's sort of like, look, folks, if you're a listener to the show, you know that this is not the match that I currently had planned. It was not supposed to be Ali and Alexander. It was supposed to be Reed and Ruas. I don't know if Reed and Ruas would have won here either. I think my intention was always to have LLC win and retain here, but it was supposed to be Reed and Ruas on the main card too. But alas, that did not happen. So I had to do something real quick. Ali and Alexander. I like the build to the match. I think I like the idea of MVP trying to buy them out from the match. But ultimately, you know, LLC get the win.
Yep. Understandable. They're a very good team dynamic there. So it makes sense that they are still the champions.
Exactly right. So there we go. LLC pick up the victory. Moving right along, Mackie, we got the first match on the main card. Elimination Chamber time.
Yes, we got it. We got an Elimination Chamber match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Like we said before, Morrison and Andrade taking on Styles and Balor, The New Day, Undisputed Era, Street Profits, and The Usos. And in this one, do we want to do the old? I don't know the order everyone's coming out here is the thing.
You don't know the order. You didn't write it. You have an order picked out for yourself.
I think.
Well, who's starting out?
Who's starting out? I think it's going to be the Street Profits and the New Day starting out, kicking us off.
Ooh, very nice start.
Yeah, Street Profits and New Day are going to kick us off.
Let me know when someone else is coming out.
All right, somebody else is coming out.
Got to get the countdown in there. The awkward cutoff of that audio clip gets me every time.
The next team coming out is Styles and Balor.
Styles and Balor. So we got three way Styles, Balor, New Day. Who of the New Days in this match?
It is going to be Kofi and Big E. This is the only team combination I haven't done in the past 3 weeks.
Okay, copy that.
Kofi, I did Xavier and Big E. I did Kofi Xavier, and now I'm doing Kofi Big E.
Kofi and Big E are in here with the Street Profits, with Styles and Balor. Styles and Balor and New Day teamed up last Friday. Street Profits. I think everyone except for... I guess depending on the combination of Undisputed Era. I think everyone in here except for Styles and Balor have been former SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. Everyone is either currently the SmackDown Tag Team Champion or former Tag Team Champions, yes. Okay. Street Profits had definitely had it. The Usos definitely had it. Undisputed Era definitely had it. The New Day definitely had it at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a match full of former champions except for one team who was the underdogs here.
Who are former world champions. So
former
maybe,
world champions. Yeah, maybe saying Styles and Balor are the underdogs is kind of a wild thing to say.
Yeah. Okay. Got another competitor or anyone getting eliminated?
No one getting eliminated yet. Next team up.
I got a new soundboard, Mikey. How much do you love this? We got 12 of these.
We have Undisputed Era coming out, and this time it's going to be the classic combination of O'Reilly and Fish.
Okay, O'Reilly and Fish coming out here. The ones that are the former, the pairing mm-hmm. that
the
is
ones the that old. Are the former champions. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, beautiful, beautiful. O'Reilly and Fish, four mm-hmm. teams here. Oh, boy.
Yes. And before the next team comes out, we are going to have an elimination.
Okay.
It's going to be Undisputed Era is going to take out the New Day.
Undisputed Era eliminate the New Day. Nice mm-hmm. job on them. Can't say I'm happy about it.
No,
but you know,
listen, Ryan, there's a lot of big names here. It's gonna, some eliminations are just gonna suck. Some eliminations are just gonna hurt.
I mean, I guess that's fair.
So now the teams in the ring are Undisputed Era, Street Profits, and Styles and Balor.
I'm looking up the championship history of the SmackDown Tag Team titles. I'm just sort of perusing to see what we got here.
Fair enough. While you do that, you want to play the sound effect for the next entrance? It is the Usos.
Ooh, down with the former champions, Usos, who lost the titles by losing them to Morrison Andrade themselves. New Day are gone, so currently we have Styles and Balor, Undisputed Era, Street Profits, and the Usos. Champions coming in last, Mikey.
Yeah, yep, that was the champions getting lucky here, coming in last on the old random pingy light thing that they do for Elimination Chamber. And before the tag team champions come out, there is another elimination. The Usos are going to eliminate the Street Profits.
Oh, interesting. Speaking of the Street Profits, a little correction here. They have never been the SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
I swear they have been.
According to this, no. They have never been the Tag Team Champions.
That's crazy. I feel like they definitely have been at one point, too. That's insane.
Yeah.
How has that not happened? No way. I don't believe you. You're a liar, sir.
You calling this archive a liar?
You're a liar. I feel like it definitely happened. That's so weird.
Since SummerSlam 2018, the New Day have held the titles twice. Undisputed Era have held the titles once. Morrison Andrade are current champions. Usos have held the titles once. And Street Profits never.
What the heck? Why do I feel like I remember them holding gold?
I think they feuded with Heavy Machinery for a bit, and also One Nation, but no, I don't think they ever had it.
Weird.
Yeah, very weird. A lot of different teams have held the SmackDown Tag Team titles. And a lot of different teams have held the Raw Tag Team titles.
The Tag Team titles are bouncing around like crazy on these brands.
Okay.
Keeping it interesting. So now the teams left are the Usos, Undisputed Era, Styles and Balor, and Morrison and Andrade, who have yet to enter this match. Which,
I wonder who is it gonna be? Who's it gonna be, Michael Cole? There's only one team left, the champions.
It's Morrison and Andrade, the tag team champions, coming out last. They are gonna come out hot and heavy, and they're gonna eliminate Undisputed Era.
Ooh, big elimination there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Big elimination chamber there. Morrison Andrade, Styles and Balor, New Day, and the Usos are left.
Yes. So three teams standing. Then Morrison Andrade are going to continue with their tag team dominance, and they're going to take out the Usos.
Ooh, Usos, Undisputed Era, former champions, lost to the Usos. Uso lost to Morrison Andrade. Morrison Andrade has eliminated Era and the Us boys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
So the last two teams standing here are Morrison Andrade and Styles and Balor, the phenomenal ones.
Yes, the phenomenal ones.
The two sweet.
Mm-hmm. The TWO suite.
TWO suite, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The
TWO instead of the NWO.
What
a lazy name for that. That's like an indie, shitty indie tag team name, is the TWO.
You can't say Bullet Club. The Nerf Dart Club.
The Paintball Club. And New Day. New Day as well.
New Day got eliminated in the beginning.
I thought it was Street Profits got eliminated.
No, New Day got eliminated first.
Oh, well then. Final two are Styles and Balor and Morrison Andrade. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so in the end, it comes down to these two teams, and the winners retaining their championships, Morrison and Andrade.
I'm, like, in a weird way upset by it, but also happy because I like the team of Morrison and Andrade, because a little biased. I was the one that originally created them.
Yes.
Even though you quickly took them right after that. I like that. I like Morrison and Andrade retaining, even though they got the advantage of being the last team in there. I like the idea that they were able to retain here.
They were the last team in there, but they also eliminated three teams.
Yeah, no, and that's a great point, is that they eliminated half the competition. So it's not like they aren't good at what they're doing. Maybe they still had the advantage because all the other teams are more tired and whatnot, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I like it. More Andrade retaining.
So that, That is our opener, Elimination Chamber match. Morrison and Andrade end up retaining their titles.
I like it. Why did you decide with retaining the titles and keeping the titles on Morrison and Andrade?
Because I realized that I didn't like how short the Usos' reign was.
Mm-hmm.
When they won it at TLC, then lost it at the next pay per view. I definitely wanted to put the crown on Morrison and Andrade here. That was the goal. And now that they have it, I want them to keep it and be a threat. And to be completely honest with you, this is just another stepping stone toward the big WrestleMania build. Mm. So I think building on Morrison and Andrade, making them a real threat here, watching them eliminate three teams and retain their titles in the Elimination Chamber is another good way to make them a real big threat and get a tag team on them, you know, like, because they can come out of this with lots of feuds, you know. They eliminated three teams out of this, so there's a lot of options here going into WrestleMania, and I want Morrison and Andrade to have an awesome match at WrestleMania, and I know they will. So this was more thinking long term here was the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, it is one of the. It's putting them, allowing Morrison and Andrade to have another notch in their belt.
Exactly.
Yes, Undisputed Era won the titles in August 23rd of 2020. Lost them to the Usos December 20th. Usos had the titles for like a month and a week. Lost them to Morrison and Andrade January 31st. It's literally like one pay per view cycle is what they had it. And so basically what you're saying is because the Usos title reign was so short, you don't want to have Morrison and Andrade have another short reign.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense.
Yes.
I mean, I think that makes sense. You know, I'm not upset by that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then let's move right along into the next matchup. Lindsay Dorado with Heavy Machinery, Otis and Tucker in his corner, are going to have Tommaso Ciampa. Mikey really enjoying that icy beverage.
Sorry.
Doing it directly in the microphone, my dude. I'm going to, like, it's an episode of a Bim Bam. I'm going to call you out. Ooh, baby. Listen to that ice. Ooh, baby.
Grip it and rip it, baby.
For the United States Championship, Tommaso Ciampa defending his title against Lindsay Dorado. Apollo Crews and Kira Tozawa are in Ciampa's corner, and Otis and Tucker are in Lindsay Dorado's corner. They're sort of there as a way to buffer the one nation-ness of Apollo
Crews. Shenanigans,
yes. Yes, the shenanies.
The shenanies.
Yes. That's just a female nanny, I guess. A shenanigan. That's a terrible joke. But yes, 1-on-1 match here. Sort of feuding. Long-time blood feud, kind of. You know, Tommaso Ciampa, One Nation, basically broken the arms of Lindsay Dorado, Heavy Machinery. I can pull up a whole list here. They have broken the arms of Lindsay Dorado, Otis, Tucker, Oney Lorcan, a bunch of some jobbers as well. Aleister Black, R-Truth. Broken a lot of arms here. Lindsay Dorado returns, eliminates Ciampa. Ciampa gets upset by it. He tries to break Dorado's arm once more. Otis and Tucker return. They have a huge, last Monday, had a huge no DQ six-man tag match where Dorado and Otis and Tucker win when Dorado pins the champion Tommaso Ciampa, leading us into this United States title match. But, Mikey, I think it won't be too surprising when I say that Tommaso Ciampa does retain his title against Lindsay Dorado.
Yep, that makes sense. I kind of saw this coming, unfortunately for Lindsay, but this seemed to be the result that was that we were getting. I can't wait to see what's next for these two.
Yeah, definitely, I would probably put this out there, definitely end of a feud kind of match. You know, Lindsay Dorado and Heavy Machinery got their sort of comeuppance, you know, last Monday here. You know, Lindsay Dorado doesn't win the U.S. title because, come on, I'm not going to put the U.S. title on Lindsay Dorado.
You can.
I could, but...
Mega push.
When I have people like Tommaso Ciampa, Ricochet, Aleister Black, Chad Gable, all sort of circling the title as well, it's sort of like, well, why would I have... I mean, Lindsay Dorado's not a bad choice, but come on, I got other better options in terms of mid-card title contenders, I believe, in my roster. But I think a solid, you know, giving Lindsay Dorado something to do. That was my goal when I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
Originally, maybe it would have been Grand Metalik, but, you know, that's fine. But yeah, Tommaso Ciampa retains. And like I said, like on that stepping stone, Tommaso Ciampa retains. He won the titles fairly recently as well. He won it, same thing as the last team, as the Usos, or as Morrison Andrade, won it January 31st at the Royal Rumble. I'm not going to have him lose the title in basically a month and a half. Not even a month and a half, like 4 weeks, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's not going to lose the title this early. Especially against Lindsay Dorado. But yeah, building up to WrestleMania stuff down the line.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited to see where One Nation and One Nation go with WrestleMania coming up. I'm very excited to see what kind of feud they get into.
Big overarching plans of One Nation. That's as much, that's what I'll say.
I had a feeling you had big plans for them.
I had big plans. I will have big plans set in motion. My big plans, Mikey, are already set in motion. I already have the Monday after WrestleMania in my mind.
So this is the comparison I'm gonna make. Imagine the Gathering. There's everybody has a thing, like their favorite card that they always put in a deck, or that no matter what, it's a card they've always wanted to play with or put somewhere, and it's called their pet card, right? Like the pet card is like a card you always want to do something with, a card that you love to use, and it's in like basically all of your decks, even if it doesn't make sense sometimes because you just love the card so much. This is what I feel like One Nation is like your pet.
100%
in this.
One Nation from the get-go, from their inception, was an idea I had of putting Apollo Crews and Kira Tozawa and a team together.
Yes.
They're sort of like, when we were booking SmackDown ourselves, that sort of like storyline that we had them going to is, I was kind of pushing that. I was like, when we were doing that, we were having it split where I was booking tag teams and you were booking the women's division because we were like flipping every pay-per-view cycle. I think that's in that section I put One Nation together and set their storyline forward. You continued them over on SmackDown, but then I took them back over to Raw. And I was really upset when you took them over to SmackDown, because what I'm doing with them now is kind of what I wanted to do with them, and so now I get my chance to do it. Tommaso Ciampa maybe was never part of the idea to begin with, obviously, but he's here, and I'm going to use him. And I think he works very well in the One Nation stable. I think the idea of Tommaso Ciampa works very well in the One Nation stable. Whether or not they get more recruits or break more arms, that is up to the future. Yeah. But you know, that's One Nation, baby. I really like them. I really like what they stand for. I really like the idea of wanting to. I feel like it's very old school, that idea of wanting to literally eliminate the competition to be the only one standing.
Yes,
I think there's something to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, it's your pet team. Like, you always want to do something with them. They're always gonna have like you're gonna put a lot of love into their storylines, and you can tell that it's coming through.
Oh yeah,
because I feel like One Nation always, there's always a plan for One Nation. You know,
there's always a plan. And there is a plan for One Nation. Again,
exactly. There's always a plan for One Nation, and it makes sense with their team because I feel like they also too always have a plan.
The Monday after WrestleMania. The Monday after WrestleMania, I see it. I see it in front of me. Like, it's there. I'm ready for it.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see what happens.
The plans are already in motion.
next up, we have another match I'm very excited about.
Yeah, me too.
Braun Strowman taking on Karrion Kross in a casket match.
Yeah, baby.
Oh yeah, baby. This has been building for a while. This has been building ever since Karrion Kross beat Braun Strowman in the Survivor Series qualifying match. And they've only had one match in between there, after that. And the rest of the feud was basically through promos. But the one match they had after that ended in a draw when Braun Strowman power slammed Karrion Kross off of the stage and took and brought himself with him because it's the running power slam works.
Mm-hmm.
There was a double count out.
Can you explain to me how the running power slam works a couple more times?
Well, you see, Braun Strowman takes somebody on his shoulder, and then he runs forward, and he jumps, and he slams them.
What's a shoulder?
He's big. What?
What's a shoulder?
Well, a shoulder is something on your arm. Okay. It's like the top of your arm, and it connects to your neck.
I'll Google this later, because I think this bit's going a little long. But continue.
So this match has been building for a little while, and it kind of came to a head in this casket match, because I had the idea of Braun Strowman trying to send Karrion Kross as building Karrion Kross as the devil, and Braun Strowman wanting to send the devil back to hell, and Karrion Kross wanting to literally and metaphorically bury Braun Strowman.
Hey, this isn't a buried alive match. You can't bury anyone. We're just putting him in a casket. We're just putting him in a box.
It's the closest I can get.
Just think of them. It's like a dumpster match, but with a casket.
Yeah, it's the closest I can get to the symbolism of, like, burying. Anyway, so this match ends with Karrion Kross winning.
Ooh.
Karrion Kross slamming that casket down on Braun Strowman.
Wow. Wow. And I really like doing it. You know, we don't do it on the normal show. We've been doing it so far, but we don't necessarily reveal, like, why we do what we do on the normal show every week. There's a lot of show to do, so we don't have really time with it. So I like saving it for the pay-per-view to sort of give, like, this reimbursement stuff for you all at home. But Karrion Kross, before the show started, we talked about it as, like, Braun Strowman getting the win here would be very nice, but does that hurt Karrion Kross? Karrion Kross getting the win over Strowman is also very good. You know, this whole thing, I know, has been sort of to try to not repurpose, but sort of revitalize Braun Strowman a little bit. Why go with Karrion Kross here?
So I'm going with Karrion Kross here because I'm ready to move this feud on. I think Karrion Kross is ready to move on to other things. This Braun Strowman feud has been going on for months, like I said, since, like, before Survivor Series. So it's been a while that Kross and Strowman have been in this feud. I think it was time to put an end to it and move them possibly both on to other things. And I have big plans for Karrion Kross coming up in the future. So I think this was the best way to end this. It puts Karrion Kross over a little more, really solidifies him as this, like, devil character.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this the fact, and, like, Scarlett, like, trying to, like, rein him in, basically.
Yeah.
And I figured Karrion Kross winning here was the best option.
No, I agree. I think, you know, making new stars, they have to earn solid moments, like, you know, defeating people. And one could argue whether or not even giving Braun Strowman this would even ultimately revitalize him enough, you know?
I tried to give Braun Strowman a new, darker character, and I think that it came through even in the loss.
I agree.
I think this loss for Braun Strowman being buried in this casket could awaken and possibly make Braun Strowman spiral even more into this darkness that he's been experiencing with this Karrion Kross feud. To hopefully, again, 2021, make Braun Strowman scary again.
Yeah.
That's the goal here, and not make him a big joke anymore. Hopefully we'll get some threat back in Braun Strowman.
That statement terrifies me because it's like, oh man, what? How do we get Braun Strowman to spiral further into darkness?
Throw him in a casket.
Throw him in a casket. And then what if, what character on the show could potentially find said casket to really spiral him down? That's the you're drinking from a mug that said nope, so maybe I'm on the wrong track here. Very intriguing for Braun Strowman here. I like it. Yes. I like where you're going here. Like I said, I'm enjoying it.
Thank you. I'm very excited to wear this. I think you saying what you just said gave me more ideas for Braun Strowman than I had. And looking at the rest of this card, I think I have an idea now of what I want to do with Strowman.
Oh, beautiful.
And I really, really like it.
Beautiful. That's also the thing, and to counteract what I just pitched, the idea of, like, the fact that WrestleMania is coming around, and it's like, oh, do I have time to do more storylines?
And it's like, yeah, I mean, I think I do, because we still have Backlash, and we have the build to Backlash,
Fastlane.
The build to Mania, right?
Fastlane is the first one.
Fastlane is what I meant, not Backlash.
And then we got WrestleMania, which again, let me look it up. WrestleMania has 8 SmackDown
Backlash
matches.
Backlash is the first one after Mania.
Yes. SmackDown has 8 matches. Raw has 9. So, you know, plenty of time to
plenty of time and plenty of space on the card to play with.
Exactly. Well, let's move right along into the next match, which is going to be Shayna Baszler defending her Raw Women's Championship against Asuka. Asuka returning from sort of a hiatus. She came from SmackDown, came to Raw, but was on a vacation for like a little bit. Quote-unquote vacation. She comes back, gets picks up a lot of wins very quickly, rising up the ranks, and gets this title match against Shayna Baszler.
Very cool. Very cool. Very excited for this one.
Oh, yeah. This match, of all the recent Baszler Raw Women's Championship matches, this one's very much more back and forth. But it is ultimately Baszler that gets the win when she ekes out a victory, rolling through the Asuka lock into a pinfall. So very much an escape win for Shayna Baszler. Asuka definitely had her number here. Baszler gets the win.
All right, all right. Again, a little bit expected here. Baszler keeping this title. I'm very excited to see where Baszler goes for I'm going to keep saying it. WrestleMania. I'm stoked to see who comes up to challenge Baszler. Come WrestleMania times.
Yeah, we got the Raw Women's number one contendership match for the Elimination Chamber match tonight as well. So we'll
know, which is why I'm so excited.
We'll know who's challenging Shayna Baszler later tonight. Two matches later, actually. Mm-hmm. But I do want to just, Mikey, the history of the Raw Women's Championship in our universe, it is prestigious, I would argue. It is a title mm-hmm. that has rarely changed. Since SummerSlam 2018, there have been 5 champions.
Yeah, it's definitely a title. It's been a title that if somebody gets it, for a long time.
13, 14, 15. The SmackDown Tag Team Championships have had 15 title changes.
Interesting.
While the Raw
three times as many.
Yes. In a 3-year period or so. Fun other fact about the Raw Women's Championship. The Raw Women's Champion has changed hands every SummerSlam.
Another very interesting fact.
Well, maybe not every SummerSlam, but at the very least, Ronda Rousey had it at SummerSlam 2018. Becky Lynch won it in our universe in 2019. Shayna Baszler won it in 2020.
And has held it since.
Yes. It is the lineage is Rousey, Sasha Banks, Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Shayna Baszler.
And one of those is now the SmackDown Women's Champion.
Correctamundo. So it is quite the lineage, quite the prestigious title here over on Raw. Mm-hmm. But yes, very much enjoying that. Well, let's move it right along into the next match. It's going to be Keith Lee defending his WWE Championship, the title he has held since SummerSlam as well, on August 23rd of 2020, against Randy Orton, special guest referee Christian. This match came about when Randy Orton, post-Royal Rumble, Randy Orton attacked. He's been sort of feuding with Edge kind of recently. He attacked Edge post Edge's Royal Rumble win, giving them a nice concerto. So a lot of blood feud there.
Yes.
Randy Orton saying that he was going to take what Edge has, so he has taken that, and he looks to take more of WWE Championship opportunities from Edge and Keith Lee. Orton sort of alludes to Keith Lee and Edge being shiny toys, while the mainstays, the legends like Randy Orton should be getting more respect instead of these new flash in the pans or whatever. And then, like last Monday, we found out that the special guest referee is going to be Christian. Obviously, Edge's longtime friend and partner, returning to be a special guest referee here tonight, Mikey.
Very, very cool. I'm super excited.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Obviously, lots of tension between Christian and Orton here. They as well have a long history between each other. Christian's not doing like referee shenanigans. He's just sort of being up in Orton's face. He is respecting the stripes, as it were. He's not like just turning the match into a violent mess. He is still a good guy, so he's starting to respect the stripes, respect the role he's in.
Yes, you gotta call it down the middle, fair and square.
But that doesn't mean Randy Orton is going to, because the finish of the match is Orton RKOs Keith Lee while he's up. He's not going for the pin. He RKOs Christian as well out of nowhere.
Oh, no!
Being annoyed with that Christian's refereeing and voices talking in his head and whatnot. Orton grabs two chairs and attempts a concerto to Keith Lee. While the referee is down, suddenly Edge's music hits, and Edge runs down, neck brace and all, and spears Randy Orton.
Wow.
Keith Lee gets up and hits Orton with the Big Bang Catastrophe. Christian crawls back into the ring for the count of three. Keith Lee retains the WWE Championship.
Very cool, very cool. Big retention from Keith Lee here over a big name like Randy Orton. Edge coming out to make the save. Does Edge do the thing where he comes out in the neck brace, spears Orton, then stands up and like rips the neck brace off, and he's like, I'm fine!
He doesn't do that, but I can tell you that post-match, Edge helps up his friend Christian, and the two emotionally hug it out.
Very nice.
Edge goes and grabs Keith Lee's WWE Championship. He's holding it, looking at it. He's holding it in front of Keith Lee, and he points at the WrestleMania sign. Royal Rumble winner Edge has made it known.
Keith Lee made his decision.
Keith Lee. He gives the title to Keith Lee, and Edge and Christian both raise Keith Lee's hands.
Very cool. Very cool. I love that reveal at the end of Christian coming out to save Keith of Edge coming out to save Keith Lee. And then you go into hand Keith Lee's title, but first he has to make it known that, yo, Keith Lee, I'm coming for you. WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Edge versus Keith Lee for the WWE Championship. Very excited for that one. Ooh.
Yes.
Spicy.
Yes.
Spicy meatball.
Yeah. They've seemingly gotten past Randy Orton right now, as of now, and Edge is making it known that my focus still is WrestleMania for the title against you, Keith Lee. There we go. We're setting that up. Setting the stage.
I love it. Speaking of setting the stage and figuring out number one contenders for titles,
mm-hmm.
Ryan, what do we got next?
We got the Raw number one contenders for the Women's Championship. It's a lot of words, a lot of confusion. I get it wrong all the time. Elimination Chamber match featuring the likes of Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, Peyton Royce, Rhea Ripley, Candice LeRae, and Bayley.
Very cool, very cool.
Very nice, very sexy matchup there, in my opinion. The two women that are going to start the match off are going to be Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan.
Ooh, the blood feud.
The blood feud that's been brewing, simmering for months. They two start the match. Morgan gets the initial upper hand, and then gotta hit my buttons, speakers, boom, there, boom.
There it is.
You gotta hit the button on time, baby. Ruby Riott comes out next.
Okay.
So we get that Liv Morgan, Ruby Riot, Riot Squad interaction there.
Very neat.
They are going back and forth here. Someone else is coming out next. Ruby Riot gets the upper hand. And who is it going to be? Bayley comes out next as well.
Awesome, awesome. So we got Liv Morgan, Ruby Riot, Bayley, and Rhea Ripley in this match right now.
Yes, I can be a little more coordinated with my soundboard when I when I know what I'm prepping myself up for. We don't have that all four of those women in that long because Liv Morgan eliminates Ruby Riot.
Oh, the Riot Squad reunion was a bust.
It was a bust. Liv Morgan gets the win here. Coming out next is Peyton Royce.
All right. Peyton Royce coming in. I'm very excited for that.
So right now we have Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Peyton Royce, and Bayley. Peyton Royce and Bayley. Peyton Royce goes right after Bayley here. Obviously, mm-hmm. They have a feud as well.
Yes, they do.
They two go back and forth. The timer hits. They got more people coming down.
I wonder who it could be.
I believe this is the last person in the chamber,
yes.
Right? That last person is Candice LeRae.
Who would have seen it coming?
Who would have seen it coming, Michael Cole? She enters next to help out Peyton Royce with going after Bayley. LeRae, eventually lots of stuff happening. Bayley tries to escape by climbing the cage. Candice LeRae climbs the cage after Bayley. Candice LeRae does a Candice's Wild Ride, that swinging net breaker off the chamber wall onto
Woo!
The floor and
Jesus
and eliminates Bayley.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Hardcore Candice LeRae coming through.
Yes, yes.
Going back to the old PWG Candice LeRae.
Exactly. Woof. Right. On top of this, Rhea Ripley will also eliminate Candice LeRae from the matchup here.
All right, that's fair. Candice LeRae also took a pretty bad bump herself.
More interactions are happening. Eventually, Liv Morgan eliminates Peyton Royce.
All right, so that means the last two are Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley, correct?
Yes, the final two are the ones that started the match, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, the two...
The blood feud continues!
The blood feud continues, and it's that moment where Liv Morgan eliminates Rhea, Peyton Royce... Rhea Ripley's in the ring. They both re-enter the ring. They face each other. It's a mirror of the start of the match. The two stand in the ring looking at each other. And, hey, ding, 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 bells, let's go.
It's like they look at each other and they just have that moment of realization. They're like, this is how it's got to end.
Yeah, exactly right. exactly right. And the two go for it. The two go at it. Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan.
Do they do the old, when they look at each other? See each other, and then when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn used to see each other at all, like no matter what they were doing, they would just drop everything and just start a hockey fight.
I think maybe
we
might start that. We might start that definitely, but definitely another basically like 5 minute match, or, 5-10 minute match. We continue this. It's just the two of them, and eventually the winner is going to be Rhea Ripley.
Alright, Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler, I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
At WrestleMania, it is going to be Shayna Baszler versus Rhea Ripley.
Alright,
Mikey,
sick.
Thoughts on that?
That's sick. What a great match this turned out to be. Candice LeRae getting an absolutely bonkers spot off.
Yeah, it felt important to the storyline for Candice LeRae to have a bonkers, aggressive match. Aggressive
yeah.
moment.
Yeah.
And it didn't make sense for her to spear Bayley through a pod. So I was like, what else could she do?
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Candice's Wild Ride off the cage is kind of insane. Mm-hmm. And then we got Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, absolutely brawling out probably the whole time. They start off the match and they end the match. Just this blood feud continuing. It's great. Peyton Royce and Bayley also Peyton Royce and Bayley also get into it. Was cool. The Riot Squad stab in the back from mm-hmm. Liv Morgan eliminating Ruby Riot.
Mm-hmm.
Also very good. This whole match was just full of really big moments, and I think it's pretty memorable. I think it's gonna be one of those hit the books pay-per-view matches that we always remember, you know. It's going to go down in the history books with the Fatal 4-Way Hell in a Cell.
I still, like, well, that was, like, one of our first big matches. I think it was, like, our first main event we booked.
That was, like, us being, like, we could do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah. Like, there's a little freedom
and then
to
we
it.
We went a little crazy with power in the beginning, and we made matches like AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens versus Drew McIntyre. Who was the fourth one?
Finn Balor wasn't in it. AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, someone else. Honestly, don't remember.
Was it Samoa Joe?
No, it wasn't Samoa Joe. I'll look it up. But yeah, if you're a longtime listener of the show, if I'm not mistaken, Mikey, at one point I did reveal my plans for this match. Anyways,
you got observed.
Seth Rollins is who was in that
right.
Fourth
we had like what. Like, what even, it was for what, the Universal Champion, the WWE Championship? Like, how crazy with power we went when we first started off this show.
The freedom that it allowed.
The freedom that we had was like, we could do literally whatever we want, and we kind of did.
That's true.
We just went hog wild.
But yeah, if you're a long-term listener, then I believe it wasn't an alternate universe thing. I think it was in the show. I think it was like a pay-per-view review or something. I don't remember.
That's what I said. I think you got observed.
Yeah, I got observed, but I'm trying to remember. I believe it was in the show and not some sort of alternate universe recording. But yeah, I got reserved at one point, so I reveal that my plans from the beginning was Rhea Ripley to win here and go on to face Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania. I could have had the moment after being observed where I could have been like, well, people now know, and now I can swerve them and have someone else win and go after Baszler. But sure. I think
reveal your plans. Nothing says you can't change them.
Yeah, nothing says I can't change those plans. I just reveal the plans in the moment that I was forced to reveal them. But I didn't reveal them, or I didn't change those plans because I felt that this was still the more satisfying answer, the still more satisfying match. I think Shayna Baszler and Rhea Ripley is a big match that I in the history of booking Raw, I don't think I've done that match. I think maybe I've done I don't think I've done Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler once.
I think we have in the universe. We have this conversation
in this show.
I believe so. We've literally had this same conversation. I feel like. Oh no, we had the conversation about Shayna Baszler and Asuka.
Yes.
My bad.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I don't remember ever booking it because my plan was always.
Yeah, no, I don't think we have.
My plan was always to have this as some sort of big match.
It definitely is,
and I wanted it to be big. I was trying to look it up to see if I can find some sort of answer. I think it's my biggest match that I can put on. I've been building up Rhea Ripley all year, and also building up Shayna Baszler. And you know, WrestleMania still got time to build up even more. Shayna Baszler is still the peak of this roster. But we showed some, with the Asuka match, I showed some, I don't want to say chinks in the armor, but sort of, she's not, maybe not the top peak, you know, Asuka's right there. But yeah, I'm going for it. That's the goal at the very least. It's Shayna Baszler, Rhea Ripley.
Yes, I'm very excited for Baszler, Rhea Ripley. It's going to be a very, very good WrestleMania match.
According to like the Ocelot ranking things that I have, if we had that match right now, based on all the matches and her win streak of Shayna Baszler and everything and who she's beaten, Rhea Ripley has a 24% chance of winning.
Ooh.
It is.
I like those odds.
I'll take those odds. Rhea Ripley. And to be fair, like, that's before this pay-per-view where she beats a bunch of people. So we'll see.
I feel like right now what you're doing, the Rhea Ripley Shayna Baszler storyline, is like the equivalent of Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton. like a champion who's held the title forever.
Mm-hmm.
We're building up a star to take them on. And now, and in terms like we had Randy Orton held that Universal title for months and months and months. And now you're building up Rhea Ripley to possibly take it from Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, that's the goal. That is definitely the goal. The question is, will it happen? Only you can find out by subscribing to the podcast feed.
Yes.
And that is it for this pay-per-view. Oh no, the lights are going off. What's happening now?
That is it for this pay-per-view. But then, of course, the lights go out. Then they come back on. The ref has been switched out for somebody in a black polo shirt. And the
referee has been switched out with a black polo shirt, just sitting in the middle of the ring.
Polo shirt,
no one in it. No one wearing it.
And of course, we have the unsanctioned match for the Universal Championship between Sami Zayn and The Fiend.
Yes, we do. Sami Zayn versus The Fiend, Universal title match, unsanctioned. Literally anything goes. I'm excited for
it. Sami Zayn comes out in street fight attire, like jeans, a t-shirt, hands all taped up.
Hey, this is not a street fight. What the hell is he wearing jeans for? This is not a street fight.
Because it's unsanctioned.
You're unsanctioned, sir. I'll have you know.
They can wear whatever the hell they want. They don't have to wear gear. And the fiend enters in the usual Fiend fashion of the Bray Wyatt head, lantern, the sickest theme, probably the sickest theme song around right now. Just what the Fiend usually wears. being all scary.
For some reason, I feel like it would be scarier if the Fiend was wearing jeans. I don't know. For some reason, it scares me more.
The Fiend comes out in those the pinstripe pants, the black tank top.
Mm-hmm.
We have this fight that's been building again for months. Sami Zayn got captured by the Fiend for disrespecting Bray Wyatt and the Fiend at the same time. Sami Zayn was stuck in the funhouse for a while. And finally made his big escape, but it's kind of a redemption story here for Sami Zayn, because he says he's not proud of the shit he had to do to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
He's not proud of having to hit the Fiend with his car or smash the vase over Bray Wyatt's head. He's not proud of how he won the championship, but now that he has it, he wants to be an honorable champion and have respect for the fans and respect for his opponents. And Sami Zayn's trying to get on the up and up, but first he has to go to the lowest lows to take out the Fiend. And the Fiend wants Sami Zayn. Not only wants the Universal Championship, but also Sami Zayn said if the Fiend wins today, the Fiend will get Sami Zayn's soul.
Ooh.
So
another soul match.
Yeah.
The classic soul match. You know, the new stipulation for all matches in WWE, the soul.
Just also the souls on the line.
Mm-hmm.
But this one... this one is brutal. Sami Zayn has to go to some scary lengths to try to take the Fiend out, and the Fiend also goes to some scary lengths to take Sami Zayn out.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, Sami Zayn does come out on top, retaining his Universal Championship and defeating the Fiend.
There we go. I told you beforehand, this wasn't a match that I necessarily would like. I didn't see the Fiend winning. I saw Sami Zayn winning, but it's one of those, like, you know, you've talked about this is sort of maybe that long-term thing of going from Sami Zayn heel to Sami Zayn face, going literally through the devil, you know, through fire, through hell. We talk about Karrion Kross being like a demon, Karrion Kross being that sort of a angel of hell, of Scarlet and everything. Well, I would argue the Fiend is the devil.
Yes.
He is that. So, fighting those demons, fighting the devil, going through hell itself. I imagine this match had a bunch of also Fiend nonsense of him putting his hands up and putting them down. And there was fire, like he's some sort of king.
Yeah. Like there was definitely points where Sami Zayn like goes through a door and ends up in like a pre-recorded segment. Like
he ends
this
up in
match
a movie
is just
theater.
A mix of like live and pre-recorded segments.
What about that? He ends up in a movie theater and he watches a pre-recorded segment of him getting beaten up by the Fiend. He's like, oh no, what a very surrealist episode of Extreme Rules here. Or what are we watching? Elimination Chamber.
Definitely some weird supernatural stuff goes down from the Fiend for sure. But I think Sami Zayn wins this one I think he does the old, like, drive a forklift, put a pallet down on top of Fiend to make sure he doesn't escape.
Yeah, you have to put him down. Well, I mean, maybe he tries that, but the Fiend escapes because he turns the lights on.
The Fiend, punches through the pallet.
Oh my god, that's terrifying. That's legit terrifying.
Imagine, you know what? We're doing that.
Yes, please.
Sami Zayn tries to pin the Fiend. Tries to pin the Fiend by putting a pallet on top of him with a forklift, and the Fiend just punches through the pallet and grabs Sami Zayn.
Oh my god. Terrifying. Terrifying.
I honestly didn't have an ending spot in mind for this one. I kind of just wanted to leave that up to whoever's listening.
No, I mean, I think that's fine.
Think about what Sami Zayn would have to do to put the Fiend down, and whatever you think, that's what he does.
Yeah.
You know?
It's up to theater
of the mind.
Yes. No, I think that the ultimate thing that needs to be said, though, is that Sami Zayn does get the win here.
Yes, Sami Zayn does end up getting the win, retaining his Universal Championship, and hopefully putting the Fiend behind him.
Yeah, that's the ultimate question, right? You know, who, with the Fiend behind Sami Zayn, what is next for Sami Zayn? Obviously, what's next for the Fiend, but what is next for the Universal Champion Sami Zayn?
Yeah, like I said, Sami Zayn for me has the face turn here. I had that face turn and is kind of in the point where he realized that before he starts climbing to the top, first he has to hit rock bottom.
Yeah, yeah, no, that makes sense. I like that, and like that, because of the Fiend's character, you're able to do that without him losing a bunch of matches. You're
exactly
just able. You know, he's also the champion, so that would be bad if he lost a bunch of matches. He wouldn't be the champion anymore. But having him go through that and get abducted and all this other stuff, torture and all these other things, I think is important to tell that story, and that's the story he's told, and I think it was a good story.
Yes, and now that Sami Zayn, like I said, is on the up and up, and he's not trapped in the funhouse, I could do more with the Universal Championship coming with WrestleMania coming up, which was always the plan, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued about who will challenge Sami Zayn next.
I know exactly who it is.
Okay, Shelton Benjamin, get in the claw. I'd love to see it. I shouldn't have traded him. I'm the fool. There we go. Elimination Chamber in the books, Mikey. We've sort of alluded to this maybe off mic as well, but maybe a safe pay-per-view overall.
We said it in the beginning. I think we said it before we started recording that it's definitely very safe.
Yes. There wasn't a single title change on this entire episode. But I think despite that, we both went for moments in story versus moments of title changes and stuff like that. Building up Rhea Ripley, Shayna Baszler, the Keith Lee Edge moment, Sami Zayn defeating the Fiend, Karrion Kross defeating Braun Strowman in a casket match. Those sort of things that we wanted to build on and have as a foundation moving into WrestleMania.
Yeah. I agree with that. It may have been safe, but I think it was safe in a good way because, like you said, we built this strong foundation for WrestleMania coming up, and we built a lot of great we built a lot of great matches. Some stars started shining through. We have some a Universal Championship that's now again back on the card another goal that people on the SmackDown roster could achieve to try to strive towards now that Sami Zayn isn't gone.
That's true.
I think we built a very solid foundation for WrestleMania coming up.
Yeah, I like it. The question is now, Mikey, is whether or not that foundation will hold. Because, the end of every pay-per-view, maybe not the Royal Rumble because it was a very long episode, we forgot to do it. Every pay-per-view, we end with The Randomizer. We say that this show is the most realistic fantasy booking show in the world. The way we do that is over a randomizer. We have a list of like 40 options from injuries, from storyline changes, from nagging injuries, recoveries, cutting matches, call-ups, what name you, a bunch of different options. And Mikey, we're going to, obviously we don't have a poll here on our typical show every Friday. We have a poll during the weekend where you can vote on whose card was better. We don't have a poll here for this pay-per-view, so we're going to hit the chamber. We're going to close the chamber on each other and duke it out and have the randomizer decide what's going to happen to both of our shows.
Yes, we both. It's a pay-per-view. It's a special episode, so we're doing a special randomizer where we both hit each other and make each other's lives even more miserable.
I got a fun one. I got a fun, juicy one. But I don't know if you'll like.
I got my randomizer is working. I also have it. I have an interesting one.
Okay.
All right. You want to go first? You want me to go first? You know what? You have the juicy one. Mine's like fine. I'll go first.
Okay.
You save yours. Yours is good. I have a fair trade again.
I'll take Shelton Benjamin back then.
We're gonna have a conversation.
I'll take Shelton Benjamin back then.
We're gonna have a conversation here about who gets traded.
Yeah. No, we are definitely gonna have a conversation about it. Okay, so let's talk about it. Anyone that you're thinking you want to get rid of or really want from the Raw roster?
A person I really want to get rid of, because I have no idea what the hell to do with them, is The Miz. I am stuck on The Miz. I have not been able to come up with a good storyline for The Miz. I have been trying my damnedest because I haven't been using The Miz at all.
No.
And I cannot do anything good because The Miz's character just feels so stale at this point.
No, I agree. He's just been the same thing forever that it's just like, I don't know what to do with this. It feels like all the stories of The Miz have been told.
Yeah, it's like, ugh.
It's rough. The comparable people to The Miz of a trade are either Bobby Lashley.
Which probably isn't happening.
No. No, I'm not trading Bobby Lashley. Or Apollo Crews, which also would not be happening. I don't know where One Nation would be on this list. However, they actually might be around here as well. So One Nation as a tag team apparently are comparable to The Miz. I would disagree with that rating system, but according to this, that's what it says. The Miz is overvalued, is what I would argue. But we still have to agree. So, you know, let's see what it is. Is there anyone that I really want on my roster? I'm looking at it to see what am I really missing? What am I really sort of missing? And honestly, this might be a bold pitch to you, Mikey, but something I feel like I'm missing is just like a face, low card person.
A face low card person.
You know what I mean? Like someone that can just be there and take pins for me when I need them to take pins for me.
So you're saying you want Kalisto?
Take Kalisto. I can get Lindsay Dorado back. Or I can get Grand Malik and do Lucha House Party and get a tag team out of that.
True.
You want the Dirty Dog? I can give you the Dirty Dogs.
The Dirty Dogs. Oh boy, I am. I was struggling for tag teams clearly when I had to bust out Rey and Dominic Mysterio on Friday.
Let's see. Who would be? Do you have anyone on your roster that is a crappy face person?
Right now we got Jeff Hardy, Dominic Mysterio, Titus O'Neil, Kalisto. I don't use a lot of my faces very well, I'm realizing.
I feel like it's not just that, but I feel like you have a lot of low card faces, but not a lot of mid card faces.
Yeah.
Especially if you turned Kevin Owens heel and Sami Zayn
face. Which I did, and I forgot to change that. Sami Zayn is now face, so the list stays even here.
Yeah. But even with that, it is sort of like, you don't have a lot of, like, who from the face side challenges Kevin Owens? You know?
I mean, I have one idea for Kevin Owens, and I'm gonna ride it. I have one feud. I have one Intercontinental title feud in the bank for Owens, and it's, spoiler alert, it's Mastiff. And I'm going to ride that to Mania, baby.
That's fair. So I would argue you might need another mid-card contender for a title. I may consider giving you Reed and Ruas.
Reed and Ruas. Oh, thank you for giving me someone who's injured until after WrestleMania. I appreciate that.
But it comes up Bronson Reed.
How long is Ruas injured?
Great question.
Because like I said, I clearly on SmackDown, I love tag teams. I love having tag teams. I love having a good tag team division. So I'm not saying I wouldn't take just Bronson Reed, but I would like to have that team dynamic because I love building my tag teams.
Okay, well, he's injured until May 3rd.
Oh boy, what an enticing deal you make.
So it sounds like, well, okay, well then, how do we do this deal? Bronson Reed and Ruas, 235, a comparable person would be New Day, Samoa Joe, who's not in on this list anymore.
We'll leave Samoa Joe out of this one. Samoa Joe is now on commentary for SmackDown.
Yes, Naomi, Roderick Strong, Miz. let's see. I'm trying to think. I don't want to take Miz.
I'm gonna say honestly, if you want to make this trade, I'll get rid of Miz.
It's the Miz heel or face? I don't even know what he is.
It sucks too because the Miz. It's not that the Miz is bad. The Miz is very good at what he does. It's just he's so stale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like you said, it's just like, it's not Miz's fault. It's just our. I feel like it's kind of our fault because it's just like everything to be done with Miz has been done.
Well, we've also grown up with The Miz. And it's the same thing while, like, Randy Orton's sometimes hard to do. But Randy Orton obviously has more of that legend status on top of it. But it's just, like, we've sort of grown up with The Miz.
Yeah, we watched Miz go from, like, person. A fedora-wearing idiot to, like...
Yeah, it feels like
with
he's been...
With a faux hawk.
It feels like he's been the same person for... The same character for, like, a decade, just with different paint.
He's had his face runs, which were good.
He had like one face run and it did
and
not.
And it wasn't that bad.
Which what face run? The one with Ric Flair and everything? Or the
Shane
one in our
McMahon.
Universe? Oh, yeah, I guess that was fine.
That wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I guess that wasn't bad.
I was kind of into that storyline.
Yeah, but then he went back to heel.
It was weird when they started bringing his dad into it, but otherwise.
Hey, we got memes out of it, so that's all that matters.
He did get very convinced out of it. You're right. Miz has had some good face runs. Miz has changed here and there. But the thing is, Miz will ultimately go back to that like 2011 Miz, mm-hmm. like that dirt sheet, faux hawk,
yeah,
fedora, weird bedazzled shorts Miz.
So who do you want? what are we doing here?
Miz wearing the WWE championship with the W turned around permanently.
Yeah. What are we doing here?
So let's go back to who you're willing to trade. You said Reed and Ruas.
Willing to trade Reed and Ruas. Willing to trade Gulak. Dorado. Nice.
Let's talk about Drewy Gooks.
Drewy Gooks. What about Drewy Gooks?
I'm always into Drewy Gooks. I'm always into having Drewy Gooks. I like having Drewy Gooks around because Drewy Gooks is always a competitor. He'll always put on solid matches, and I feel like Drewy Gooks can easily slot into a storyline with like almost anybody.
Mm-hmm. And I can trade Drewy Gooks for Jeff Hardy.
That's not... I don't mind that.
Well, obviously you don't mind. Jeff Hardy, according to your Ocelot ranking...
I don't know. You're the one who suggested it.
Jeff Hardy, according to the Ocelot ranking, is last. Dead last.
Jeff Hardy's in the same spot as The Miz, right? It's like, we grew up with Jeff Hardy. We don't know what to do with Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy has been the same character forever. Like,
Jeff Hardy is dead last on SmackDown's like win-loss mattering record, and Drew Gulak is last on Raw's. It would not matter to switch them.
Like I said, Jeff Hardy has been, he has the same problem. Same thing with Rey Mysterio. It's like all the people we grew up with are hard to use because we grew up with them, you know?
Yeah. No, I get you. I'll take Jeff Hardy.
All right, let's do Drew Gooks for Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, who cares? you know, it's one of those trades.
What you don't know is that Drew Gooks is going to be the next Intercontinental Champion, baby.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Drew Gooks. I think it's fine. It's like I said, neither of them are great. Neither of them are great standing on a roster. So who cares? We'll just trade them.
It's time for me to build up Drew Gooks.
Yes, please. Can you give me a challenge for Kevin Owens? I feel like, because I think the difference between Drew Gooks and Jeff Hardy is that Drew Gooks is still fresh,
mm-hmm.
while Jeff Hardy is, you know, he's Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. Yep.
So I got the randomizer result for me, for you, Mike.
You have an interesting one, you said. You have a spicy one. Let's hear it.
Yes, we spoke about it earlier in regards to me, but for you, it's time that you've been observed.
I've been observed?
You've been observed. Reveal.
Oh, no.
Reveal one result of an upcoming planned pay-per-view match, or a storyline, or sort of like, reveal your plans, basically.
Okay.
So I get to choose a planned match, and it's at a pay-per-view, so usually the idea is the result of a planned pay-per-view match, but obviously the only things we have planned right now are kind of WrestleMania Fastlane, which aren't even announced yet, but that still works. So
you can be like, what's your WrestleMania plans, baby?
Yeah, I believe you asked me what my plan is at WrestleMania for the Raw Women's Championship.
Yes, so you could throw it right back at me here.
Let me see. What's the best pick for...
So right now, my champions, if that helps at all, are Sasha Banks with the SmackDown Women's Championship, Kevin Owens with the Intercontinental Championship, Sami Zayn with the Universal Championship, Morrison and Andrade with the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, and Tony Storm and Piper Niven with the Women's Tag Team Championships.
Yeah. My question for you is, what is your plans in regards to the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania?
The Intercontinental? I was not expecting you to say that. I was expecting you to ask me about Sami Zayn.
No.
In the Intercontinental title. So the plan here is to build up ultimately to Kevin Owens versus Mastiff,
mm-hmm.
at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's going to be the Mania match. I'm going to, like, the build up is going to be Mastiff is upset at Owens for unfairly retaining his title in his open challenge, and then like kind of quietly canceling the open challenge after that.
Yeah.
Dave Mastiff wants revenge on Owens, and it's gonna be a Kevin Owens Mastiff feud. And that's going to be the big Mania match. That's my plans for the Intercontinental Championship right now.
And you don't have a winner in mind yet?
The winner I have in mind is Mastiff,
mm-hmm.
for the Intercontinental Championship. Ultimately, Mastiff was going to beat Kevin Owens, and then Kevin Owens was going to be... I guess I don't technically have to say this, but I'm gonna. Kevin Owens, after losing his Intercontinental Championship, was going to be pushed onto Sami Zayn, of course, because I can't refuse that.
Makes sense. I think you revealed way more than I've asked, I believe.
Exactly. I can't refuse Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn for the Universal Championship. Come on, it's right there.
Well, that brings up a question for me. Is that last time when we traded Murphy, you said that you had sort of conjectural plans in regards to Murphy, Rollins, and Mastiff. Now that Murphy was a face, how would that affected Mastiff's WrestleMania match?
If at all. I kind of brought it up a little bit. It was going to be Kevin Owens in the long run was going to be revealed to be working with Seth Rollins.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I'm asking that question because now it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it really doesn't matter. But my plan with that was going to be revealed that Kevin Owens was going to be working with Seth Rollins. And Buddy Murphy and Mastiff were going to reunite as a tag team to try to stop them and try to get Dave Mastiff this Intercontinental Championship, while making sure, like, while having each other's backs against this team of Orton and Rollins, Owens and Rollins, to stop the shenanigans, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay, no, yeah, that makes sense. And then eventually, Mastiff, they all win, they beat the team, and then Mastiff challenges Owens for the title.
Exactly.
That probably would have been the fast lane match.
Yeah, it would have been. Oh, the fast lane match was going to be Mastiff and Murphy versus Owens and Rollins, and if Mastiff and Murphy win, they get the Mastiff gets his title match at Mania.
So what you're saying is that I ruined your fast lane match and I revealed your Intercontinental WrestleMania match.
Yes, but I'm kind of okay with you doing that because, like I said, it kind of puts pressure on me to come up with something a little more creative and not just go back to like an old well of this feud between Murphy Mastiff and Rollins.
Yeah, intermix more with more people.
Exactly, and it lets me build Mastiff as a single star. You know, I don't have to. Mastiff and Murphy are no longer tied together, so it lets me build Mastiff being this star on his own.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I was kind of more okay with trading Murphy because I was like, yeah, you know, I can make this work. Like it wasn't like it could have been a cool storyline, but like I think I like just Mastiff and Owens just button heads. You know.
Yeah, I like that. I think it makes sense. Okay then.
It kind of feels like I know this is gonna sound bad because the Owens previous challengers weren't awful challengers, but it kind of feels like Owens is finally picking on someone his own size a little bit.
I see. No, yeah, I like it. When I was thinking about what to ask you, I was thinking about Sami Zayn. I was thinking about honestly, I was thinking about The Fiend. I was like, do you have any plans for The Fiend? Or
I do,
Cross?
Actually.
Oh, interesting. Or even, I was thinking like Finn Balor, Styles. I was like, do you have any plans for them? Yes. The women's title stuff, I was like, who won it? Bianca?
We kind of know where that's going.
Yeah, Sonya Deville.
Sonya's already made her proclamation that at WrestleMania it's going to be Shayna. Not Shayna Baszler. It's going to be... If obviously Sasha Banks lost the title by then, it's going to be Sasha Banks versus... Sonya Deville. So many S names.
No, I get you. Very similar gimmicks too.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I like it. Well, there we go, folks. That is eventful pay-per-view episode here on Hit the Books. Huge Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Not a lot of, like we said, not a lot of title changes, not any title changes, but at the very least, a lot of momentum heading into WrestleMania now, and that's what you paid for, $9.99. Next pay-per-view is going to be Fastlane.
WWE Network.
Speaking of, next pay-per-view is going to be Fastlane on the Peacock NBC Network. So we'll get ready for that. We'll have a new character going after the 24/7 title instead of the gobbledygooker. It's going
to
be.
What happens to my WWE WWE Network subscription?
Look into it because I'm fairly certain the idea is that it transfers over to a Peacock subscription thing.
Gotcha.
But you should look into that.
I should.
But no, we're going to have a new character instead of gobbledygooker. It's going to be some sort of Peacock character. Yep.
Penelope Peacock.
Yes. Yeah. I don't. What is a gooker, anyways?
Probably it sounds racist, so I'm not even gonna go into it.
I typed in Gooker, and the first thing that came up was a gobbledygooker, so I think that's all it is.
It sounds like a slur, though.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great. But nonetheless, that is it. We had some trades, we had some reveals of what's happening down the line, and we got Fastlane and more shows ahead of us. I think we have... How many shows do we have before Fastlane anyways? We got 1, 2, 3, 4 shows before Fastlane, Mikey. And then we got the two-night WrestleMania event.
Too big for one night, baby!
So there we go. Anything to plug, Mikey?
Yeah, go check out Independent Waters every Wednesday, where me and Zach Matisse will take you through the independent wrestling scene, if you're into that. We bring back... We go into the indie... We call it the Indie Waters, and we bring back treasures for you to watch. And we give them our old review of, on the miss out met or markout scale. So go check that out if you're into indie wrestling. I think you'll like it.
Yes, definitely go check that out. Go check out Indie Waters and check out all the shows. They're on the Count Out Network. We got a bunch of shows. How to Talk to Your Friend About Wrestling, Your Dose of Death, G1 and Only, of course, Independent Waters and Hit the Books. More shows to eventually hopefully come. We also have go to our website, countoutpod.com. We have articles that we write as well. Before the actual Elimination Chamber, if I got my butt together, there should be a preview article about Elimination Chamber on the website there as well. So you can go check that out on the website, countoutpod. I think that's it. That's all we have. I had to remember
go
real quick.
Follow us on Twitter at HitTheBooksPod.
Yes, subscribe, leave a review on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts. If you can leave a 5-star review, we would obviously greatly appreciate that. 5-star reviews are important, helps more people find the show, and obviously we would love you even more. It's on in our universe, it's Valentine's Day right now, so we would appreciate it. We love you all as well. We should just say that. We love you guys.
Spreading the love on Valentine's Day.
We love you all. We love, you know, that you're here with us every single week, and we just, you know, want to just make it known, make it clear, make it known to the universe. So yes, thank you so much. We'll see you next time on the regular scheduled Friday episode of Hit the Books. Until then, we've got two words for you. Book it.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.